Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaskans are lobbying the city to ban plastic bags, and mechanical problems on a state ferry have stranded passengers in Homer. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. The Unalaska City Council meets tonight. At the regular session, councilors are scheduled to hear from a local group that's trying to ban single-use plastic bags on the island. They'll also discuss the city's 2019 budget and get a funding update on the endangered fish weir at McLeese Lake. The City Council meets tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. And before the city dives into its discussion of a potential plastic bag ban, we bring you a story from earlier this year on the group behind the effort. KUCB's Zoe Sobel went to their first meeting in February, where some 25 Unalaskans gathered.
Mary Hymas says for a community that relies on the ocean, eliminating the bags should be a no-brainer.
You know, we pull a lot of money out of the ocean, and we have a social responsibility to take care of that environment.
This is not Unalaska's first attempt to ban single-use bags. In 2013, a petition asking the city council to eliminate the use of plastic bags by Unalaska stores circulated around the community, but went nowhere. In Alaska, the bags have been banned in Kodiak, Wasilla, Bethel, Cordova, and Hooper Bay. Homer briefly prohibited the bags, but the ban was overturned by voters. This group is prepared for pushback against their efforts from stores and restaurants.
I'm all for the environment. I'm not against the plastic bag ban, but when you look at the overall picture, the people that are going to suffer will be the people within the community.
That's Safeway store manager Abe Palmer. Without plastic bags, he worries it will be difficult for people who walk with their groceries. He says rainy weather would destroy paper bags. And Palmer says a plastic bag ban would make groceries more expensive.
The elevated cost of what a paper sack is five times more than what it is for a plastic sack. All those costs would not be absorbed by the company. It would be absorbed going out into the customer's market.
He thinks education and reestablishing the recycling program could have the same effect as a plastic bag ban. Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson says whether it actually is more expensive to eliminate single-use bags is a matter of weighing immediate versus future costs.
It may be expensive to me to get rid of my garbage, mm-hmm. so I'm going to pass that on to future generations.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're faced with on this island is this landfill is filling up a bit quicker than they expected.
I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.
Several people are stranded in Homer for 2 weeks after mechanical issues on the state ferry Kennecott canceled a sailing on Saturday. As KBBI's Aaron Bolton reports, the vessel was stuck in Kodiak for 33 hours before arriving late in Homer.
Alaska Marine Highway spokesperson Aura Landau says mechanical issues with the Kennecott's elevator, responsible for loading vehicles on and off the vessel, and computer problems caused the delay in Kodiak.
There have been $29 million in total funding cuts from FY13 to now, and two boats have been removed from the fleet, so there's not a lot of flexibility in dealing with weather or mechanical issues throughout the system.
The Tustamina, which sails from Homer down the Aleutian chain, is in Ketchikan for its annual layover and was not able to pick up the slack. Landau was unable to say how many passengers were affected by the cancellation, and she does not know how much an extra sailing would cost in total, but she did say staffing costs would run about $80,000, which the Marine Highway System deemed unfeasible. The Kennecott, which supplements the Tustamina service in western Alaska, was supposed to leave Homer for Kodiak around 2 a.m. Saturday. Several passengers in Homer say they were notified about the delay Friday. Several slept in their vehicles, stayed with friends, or paid for hotels. Brandon West, his fiance, and two kids are moving to Kodiak Island. He says they weren't notified about the cancellation until Sunday morning.
For a family like us, we've spent already like $2,500 to move from Palmer to here. We don't have that expense anymore. I mean, we're pretty much out of cash, out of everything, and we even had to stay in a hotel here and everything. So, you know, it should have been a lot better communication for sure.
West and his family were scheduled on two separate sailings on Saturday and Sunday. He says they were able to get their U-Haul with all their belongings on the ferry Sunday, but will likely have to leave their personal vehicle behind.
And then if our vehicle don't get on, then it won't get on till May. So we're going to be stuck without a vehicle.
Other passengers were told they could either walk on to the Sunday sailing and leave their vehicles or wait until the next available sailing for Kodiak on April 21st. Lando says the Marine Highway is not charging customers for leaving their vehicles at the Homer Terminal and that there is space for them on the sailing later this month. She added several passengers on standby and their vehicles were able to fit on the Kennecott Sunday evening. She did not have an estimate for how many passengers were forced to wait for the sailing later this month. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has extended the public comment period for the environmental impact report on the proposed Pebble Mine. The Corps announced last week that it's adding 2 months to its initial scoping period of 30 days, meaning people now have until June 28th to weigh in. Public comments during the scoping process will help the Corps decide what to focus on during its environmental review of the controversial project. The mine would be located in Bristol Bay near some of the richest salmon fisheries in the world. Among those lobbying for more time were Senator Lisa Murkowski and Andy Mack, the Alaska Department of Natural Resources Commissioner. Both said the federal review process needs to include longer public comment periods given the scope of the massive mining project. The Alaska legislature could finish within a few days of its scheduled 90-day session, but other than the budget, it's not clear which bills lawmakers will pass. APRN's Andrew Kitchenman has the story.
Senate President Pete Kelly says Senate leaders are optimistic about ending the session shortly after Sunday, the last day under the schedule set by state law. Kelly, a Fairbanks Republican, says there's been less disagreement between the two chambers.
Last year, it was a full-on war between the House and the Senate.
By comparison, Kelly describes, quote, high-level cooperation this year on the budget. Still, only 6 bills have passed both chambers. That number is much lower than the current record for the fewest bills passed in the state's history, 32, set last year. Kelly says the slow pace is the result of differences between the Senate and House.
It's just going to be the natural outcome of having two bodies that are philosophically different, and we haven't had that for a long time.
Bethel Senator Lyman Hoffman, a Democrat, says that along with budget legislation, the most important remaining bill for the legislature to consider is Senate Bill 26. It would close most of the long-term gap between state spending and revenue.
How are we going to have the permanent fund be involved in addressing our fiscal crisis? That, I think, is probably the most important question.
The Senate majority has stopped short of saying they wouldn't end the session without a bill like Senate Bill 26, which would draw a percentage of the Alaska Permanent Fund's market value to pay for state government. But Hoffman, the longest-serving lawmaker, acknowledged that the two sides continue to differ.
I wouldn't be a happy camper. Having been here for many years, you have to live with what can get accomplished.
The House has refused to pass a permanent fund plan without additional taxes that would fully close the budget gap. The House majority has argued that passing a plan with taxes would be more responsible and more fair to lower and middle income residents who are losing a significant share of their income through cuts to permanent fund dividends. One high-profile bill that could pass is Senate Bill 63, which would prohibit smoking in workplaces, including bars, and in outdoor spaces near workplaces. The House Rules Committee is scheduled to hold a hearing on the bill Tuesday. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.